Well, it's the event of the year for libertarians. Freedom Fest happening now in Las Vegas. Thousands of libertarians are in the city for the event, which features freedom-loving speakers, debates, forums, and activities. Here are some of the issues on the agenda. Wall Street on trial, the 2012 presidential elections, the U.S. healthcare debate, global economic recovery, and the Occupy Wall Street movement. And these are, of course, topics we cover in depth here at RT. So Freedom Fest is just more than just a big protest against big government. It comes at a time when many Americans think our fundamental freedoms are under attack, and they want to put an end to this erosion of liberty. To talk about the event and the libertarian movement, I'm joined now by Matt Welch. He's the editor-in-chief for Reason Magazine. Matt, welcome. So I know it's over 100 degrees over there in Las Vegas, but it's not stopping those freedom lovers from getting together, is it?
Well, thankfully, capitalism has invented air conditioning, so we can all enjoy ourselves. No, it's a big, funny, kind of crazy, kooky event here, and a lot of different free market libertarian organizations and a lot of financial investments and where to buy gold and how to put your money in a Belize account type of things are all kind of thrown together in a room, and it's a fun and interesting and only slightly bizarre exercise, and I enjoy it very much.
Now, this event, Matt, comes at a time where a lot of libertarians and a lot of people think that certain freedoms are under attack. I mean, this is after the NDAA was signed into law. We're seeing a number of internet bills, pieces of legislation that aim to crack down on internet privacy and freedoms on the internet. Maybe talk about the significance of the timing of this event.
Well, they've been having it every year for a while, but there's been a noticeable kind of jump in activity and kind of juice in it here, precisely because of how you laid it out. I mean, what libertarians frequently say, and I think that we are right, is that, yes, the two major parties in this country are different, and they certainly sell themselves differently. But once they're in power and exercising power, there's a commonality, and that commonality is almost always opposite in the direction that libertarians want. Libertarians want to shrink the size and scope of government in all aspects of our lives, for the most part, and people who are in power don't. George W. Bush certainly did not. He increased the size of government by 60%. Barack Obama certainly has not. And their ability to get into areas, drone strikes against American citizens, for crying out loud, once they're in power, their supporters forget whatever principle that they had before, and they kind of look the other way. So libertarians have a pretty consistent critique against that world, and so rally together in these climate. And I think it's becoming a more attractive, it's still a minority message, but it's a more attractive message in America, where now we have something like 40% of Americans don't have a natural sense of affinity with either the Democratic or Republican parties. So they're out looking for something that's different. And I think the ideas behind libertarianism, maybe more than the party, let's say, offer that kind of different way of looking at the world that resonates more strongly where they're coming from.
So do you think it's fair to say that the libertarian movement is a growing movement in the U.S.?
Oh, certainly. And the Pew Charitable Trust or Pew Surveys, every 4 years they come out with a political typology. Here are the five or six or seven kind of categories of Americans. So for the first time in spring of this year, they identified a category as libertarians, which they said were around 9% of the population. Different studies that Cato Institute and others have done will pin it at, between 10 and 14, 15%, something like that. But it's on the grow. It's a label that really hasn't been stained by the responsibility of governance. We're not pissed off at libertarians for what they've done to us, because we really haven't done all that much to anybody. And in general, on the issues that people are frustrated with because they don't seem to be getting any headway, stuff like opposing the war on drugs, opposing bailouts and bailout economics that come with it. Libertarians have been talking about this for four decades. So that stuff tends to become more and more popular as Americans become increasingly frustrated with the logjam that these kind of policies have from both parties.
So you think part of the reason for this growing libertarian movement is that people seem to be just sick of all things government, whether it's the government bailout or increased government regulation?
And also the way we talk about governments. I mean, the two parties are really kind of distressingly banal. I mean, the way that we talk about politics over the weekend, Democrats wanted to spend their whole time talking about how, oh, Mitt Romney had a Swiss bank account once, and that's relevant to something. You know, and Republicans 2 months ago were seriously wasting an entire news cycle talking about how once upon a time Barack Obama ate a dog in Indonesia. You know, really, we have some problems in this country, and all this stuff is a turnoff. When politicians and when people who talk about politics keep railing on these really trivial matters, it turns people off, and so they're looking for people who talk about it in a different way, even if they might not themselves be totally anti-government. But the number of people in America who say the government is trying to do too much and is trying to impose itself on our culture too much, that number is consistently growing, and it's growing at a very rapid clip rate.
Now, Ron Paul, of course, has become, you know, has been talking about all these things and has gained a huge following, a very loyal, passionate following. A lot of his followers are young. So, I mean, do you think it's kind of become cool to be a libertarian these days?
Sure. I mean, a lot of more Republicanoid people speak about that bitterly. Jonah Goldberg from the National Review always says, yeah, libertarian is just a way to look cool when you're in college, right? Certainly, you know, Republican is not a way to look cool, I think, in probably any setting, but that might be my own bias is coming through. But yeah, young people skew libertarian. Let's not forget that people under a certain age, they just grew up under the internet, which is basically one of the greatest libertarian experiments in life. Here you are day after day participating in this thing where 99.9% of the activity is untouched by government, really. It's just people communicating with one another and talking and buying stuff or not buying stuff or rickrolling one another. I mean, it's just this fun place and active place where people exercise their freedoms. So there's demonstration projects that people have been marinating in their whole lives. There's an intuitive understanding that in that sense, markets and freedom work. And so even if, you know, young people voted for Obama in huge numbers in 2008 and for Democrats in Congress, which to me is much more alarming. But young people skew much more libertarian and much more independent than the rest of the population. So I think there's a generation that's been brought up in this pretty libertarian private universe that we have. The question is, how do we voice those insights into the public discussion and the provenance of government?
And, you know, a lot of libertarians, a lot of them are young. A lot of them are also frustrated, especially with the way that they don't think Ron Paul got his, you know, fair share of media coverage. And now they're frustrated over libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson, and they're planning to stage a protest outside of the headquarters, at the CNN headquarters, because they're saying, why are you not even mentioning him? They're frustrated that he is not getting any coverage at all. I mean, what do you think? Do you think libertarians get a fair share in news, mainstream news at least?
I think he in particular has gotten a bad deal. He ran for the Republican Party nomination before he dropped down and became libertarian. And there were a couple of specific incidences where CNN was organizing debates, and he pretty much qualified under any condition that he would want, and they didn't have him go on. And there's something kind of unseemly of news organizations making these arbitrary decisions, you know, that you have to cross a 15% threshold to get on the debate. So yeah, good on them. I think libertarians, there's probably more libertarians in media and certainly in kind of the blogosphere and the alternative media that you were talking about at the top of your show, is probably overrepresented by libertarians. So people are aware of us, but in terms of where they exist in the application of politics, for sure, they are not taken seriously as seriously, obviously, as libertarians would like.
All right, I just want to ask you one more question there, Matt. So we see that this movement is growing. Where do you expect it to go, the future of libertarianism?
You know, I think as it applies to politics, I would guess that it goes towards more single issue rather than single politician, single candidate or single party. It's not about the 2012 election per se. It's about legalizing marijuana, which is something that, for instance, is on the ballot in Washington and Colorado, which could be the first step finally undoing the prohibition of marijuana, just like alcohol prohibition was ended by kind of statewide revolts. So I think people will gravitate towards individual actions that they can control more than let's have this thing called libertarianism like grow and have enough, you know, political members there. I think it's, you know, it's a philosophy that people find some bits that they like and some bits that they're a little bit freaked out by, on a ad hoc basis, using these insights to attack the worst of problems in the public sphere. I think that's where we're going to see things continue to grow.
All right. Very interesting, Matt. Thanks so much for coming on the show. That was Matt Welch. He's the editor-in-chief for Reason magazine.
Thank you.